All right. Hello. My name is Courtney Dolvin, and this is Choose You This Day, and that's the workshop we're going to be doing right now. Let me quickly give you an introduction of myself. Like I said, my name is Courtney Dolvin. I have been married to my husband, Steve, for almost 14 years, and he teaches at Butler University. Go Dogs. I got my degree in teaching high school math, so I love high schoolers and I love math. So I love teaching both of them. I know, you're looking at me kind of funny. I do have three children. And there's a picture of them. Landon is 8, Layton is 6, and Lauren is 4. And that's just a little bit about myself. And I'm looking forward to getting to know you guys here as we go along. Real quick, let me give you an overview of exactly what we're going to do today. First of all, I'm going to give you a little introduction. Then I'm going to ask you three questions. Do we live by choice or chance? So be thinking about that. What are some important choices? And if we have time, we'll cover 10 big choices. If not, no problem. We'll just go on. And then what is the most important choice ever? And then we'll have a conclusion and we'll be done for today. Okay? So let's start. Our theme verse for this is Joshua 24:15. If you would, take your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, and turn to Joshua 24:15. If you don't, that's fine. I'm going to read it here to you. It says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Does anybody know who's saying this in this passage? You can just call it out. Joshua, yes. Joshua is saying this, and he's saying this to the children of Israel. These are actually his final words. You know what it means for someone to say their final words. This is it. Soon after, he will die at age 110, but he's going before the children of Israel, and he's telling them, you need to decide whether you want to choose the Lord, choose to obey the Lord, or to follow after other gods like the other nations were. Okay? And we have choices as well. Okay? We have to decide whether we want to follow after God, or if we want to follow our own limited personalities or another imperfect substitute. But we have to make a choice. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You saw a picture of my little girl. About a month ago, I took all three of my kids for their annual checkups at the doctor, and the doctor asked my little girl, "So which one is your favorite brother?" Isn't that kind of a funny question? And she very quickly said, I can't decide. I like them both. So she said the right answer, right? Well, life isn't always like that, is it? Sometimes we can't just say, you know what, I'm just not going to choose. I'm not going to make this choice, okay? We do have to make decisions, and we do have to make choices. So we must choose. And what's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's going to be the result? Well, the way we live, and I don't know, you have a handout there. You can fill in the blanks as you can. And if you, I know we'll go kind of quickly. So if you don't get some of them, maybe we can get them afterwards. But, and we'll get to that. We're still on the introduction. But you have choices to make. And what's the purpose? What's the result? Well, the way we live shows others our strength and our commitment to Christ, to serving God. And you know that one day we're going to be adorned. We're going to be adorned in fine linen, okay? We're going to stand before Christ as his bride, and what are we going to be wearing, okay? So we're going to be adorned, and this is kind of a picture to kind of get us thinking about that. So what's the purpose of making good choices? Well, the purpose is one day we will stand before Christ, okay? And so we want to make good choices. You know, before a farmer goes to plant his field, what does he think about? What does he think about before he's even going to plant? What do you want? Yes, his harvest, what he's going to reap, right? Okay, so let's think about it today. What do we want to reap, okay? And that will determine what we will plant, okay? So let's get to question number one. It's there on your handout. Question number one, do we live by choice or do we live by chance? You know, you didn't park your brain at the curb before you came in here. You were created to think. You girls have the ability to think. You're not puppets, and God has given you that ability. He wants you to have the ability to make choices. Have you ever heard people say, well, it's all luck, it's all chance? It doesn't really matter. What happens, well, happens. Maybe you've heard this: bad luck caused his downfall, or bad things happen in threes, or be careful of Friday the 13th. Have you heard that before? Oddly enough, when I was in high school, my basketball number was jersey number 13 because nobody else wanted it, but didn't seem to bother me. But you know what? God is sovereign over luck, isn't he? So it's not just luck. It's not just chance, okay? Think about instinct. You know what instinct is, right? Okay? Animals live by instinct, don't they? What do we mean when we say that? Okay. Do humans have instinct? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Humans do have instinct. We do react to our environment, our happenings, don't we? Well, an animal will lash out at a human. You've heard of that before. Why? Because it's according to his instinct. Okay. But add to that instinct, we also are given the ability to choose. Okay. So it's not just living by instinct. It's not just luck, chance, whatever happens, happens. God is sovereign over all of that. Okay? So you are created to think. You are created to think. And that's your first blank there. You are created to think. Letter B. Choices are a matter of will. Choices are a matter of your will. Okay? For the most part, you decide what you're going to say, what you're not going to say, what you're going to wear. For the most part, what you're not going to wear, what you're going to do, how you're going to react, okay? You decide these things. And it's kind of like the domino effect, isn't it? What's the domino effect mean? Has anybody ever stood dominoes up, line them up one by one? What happens when you hit one of them? They all fall over. So does one domino affect the other domino? It sure does, okay? Our choices are like that as well. Certain choice we make affects the next choice, affects the next choice. Letter C. Let's talk a little bit about good choices versus bad choices. And you've heard this before. Good choices may cost you something in advance. Bad choices, though, they're going to cost you a whole lot more in the long run, okay? I have 3 points underneath this. First of all, attractive choices sometimes lead to sin. Just because it looks good does not mean that it is. Good choices have positive long-term results, and right choices are sometimes difficult. And I would like to read a story to you here. In a recent email, I read about a woman named Pam who knows the pain of considering abortion. More than 24 years ago, she and her husband Bob were serving as missionaries to the Philippines and praying for a fifth child. Pam contracted an infection of the intestine caused by a parasite found in contaminated food or drink. She went into a coma and was treated with strong antibiotics before they discovered that she was in fact pregnant. Doctors urged her to abort the baby for her own safety and told her that the medicines had caused irreversible damage to her baby. But she refused the abortion, and she cited her Christian faith for the reason for her hope that her son would be born without the disabilities physicians had predicted. Pam said the doctors didn't think of it as a life. They thought of it as a mass of fetal tissue. Well, while she was pregnant, Pam nearly lost her baby 4 times but refused to consider abortion. She recalled making a pledge to God with her husband, "If you will give us a son, we will name him Timothy." By the way, Timothy means to honor God. "And we'll make him a preacher." Pam ultimately spent the last 2 months of her pregnancy in bed and eventually gave birth to a healthy baby boy on August 14, 1987. Pam's youngest son is indeed a preacher. He preaches in prisons, makes hospital visits, and serves with his father's ministry in the Philippines. He also plays football for the Denver Broncos. Pam's son is, do you know who this is? Tim Tebow. Have you heard of him before? Yes. And his mother had to make difficult choices through her, and she decided to go ahead and have that little baby, and that little baby has grown up to become someone who has represented the Lord in a great way. All right? Letter D, Bible examples. Bible examples. Can you think of anyone in the Bible who had to make a difficult choice? Think. Yes. Good, very good. Anyone else? Abraham. Why did Abraham have to make, well, he made numerous, but why Abraham? Very difficult, yes. Anyone else? Let me give you a couple here, okay? The first one here, the Israelites had to decide whether they were going to put away the gods of their neighbors and worship the true God. That's the one we mentioned there in Joshua at the beginning here. How about this one? Lot. Abraham, as she mentioned, Abraham had to choose Canaan, and Lot chose what? What choice did he make? Do you remember? To pitch his tent toward Sodom. Yes. Okay. And that is in Genesis chapter 13. What about this one? Do you know who that is? That's a picture of Joseph. Did Joseph have to make tough choices in his life? Oh, yes. Okay. Think of the tough choices he had to make. Here he is with his brothers. In Genesis 39, he refused his master's wife. He had to make very difficult choices. Someone else who had to make difficult choices. Daniel. Remember Daniel? What did he refuse to do? Eat of the king. Yes. He purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat. So we have Bible examples. Okay. Next thing, letter E, life is full of choices. So we can come to the conclusion that no, it's not just luck. It's not just chance. Life is full of choices and God is in control. Okay? So life is full of choices, very important choices. I have a quote there, God asks no man whether he will accept life. That's not the choice. You must take it. The only choice is how. Okay? So that wraps up number one. Let's go to question number two. What are some important choices that you make? What do you think? Help me out here. Give me some important choices. You've made a lot of them today. You've made choices, haven't you? Chose to be here. Yeah. Okay, what are some important choices? Anyone can call it out. I want to talk about 10 of them. Yes, that's an important choice. What else? Very good. Your job. Very important choice. Okay. What are you going to do? Your education. What are you going to do after high school? You've got to make a choice. What are you going to major in? These are all choices. Okay. Life is full of choices. Isn't it so neat that God lets us have these choices? You have options. Yes, you have choices. Okay, now some of the choices we're going to go through today, okay, you may say, I don't have a problem with that. Others, you may say, you know what, I really do need to work on that, and that choice really hits home. So hopefully you'll be able to take some of this, something from this, all right? Let's go through some of our choices. There she's thinking of some. Choice number one, my attitude is a choice. Realize that your attitude is a choice, a very important one. Getting a couple smiles from that one. Attitude is a choice, okay? There was a study done once that said 85% of success is due to attitude, okay? Of course, we know that God works in us and works through us, okay? But attitude, what do we mean when we say attitude? Here's what we mean. Your mental outlook, what's on the inside that shows on the outside. Your thoughts and your feelings. I like this definition. What you say when you talk to yourself. That's your attitude. That is what your attitude is reflecting. Okay, what you say when you talk to yourself. How you think, your thoughts, your feelings. Okay, people who expect to succeed often do. Okay, I'm going to use another football person here. I don't know if you've ever heard of a man named Hines Ward, but he does play football for the Steelers, and somebody interviewed him once, and they said, why are you so confident? Why do you have so much success? And he said, you know what? I visualize myself scoring a touchdown, and then I go out, and I do it. All right? So have confidence. Your attitude makes a huge difference, and it's a magnet, isn't it? What you think is what you attract. Those are the kind of friends that you're going to have around you. I have a verse here I want you to see. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of heart bringeth forth what? That which is good. Very good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in the heart does come out. All right? So let's think about ourselves. What's my attitude like? Good question to ask ourselves. All right, let's go on to question number two. So we've talked about our attitudes. Question number, or choice number two, be honest. Be honest. Oh, this one is so important, girls. So important. Did you know that you'll have peace of mind and a better self-worth if you're honest? Okay. What is the cost of dishonesty? What does it cost when you're dishonest? What can happen? People lose trust in you. Yeah. Okay. Hurt your relationships. Okay. Can you think of anyone in the Bible who was dishonest? I was thinking of Ananias and Sapphira. Remember them? They were very dishonest about what they had done with their money. Yeah. What about King David? A man after God's own heart. Was he ever dishonest? Yes. Dishonesty led to murder. All right. I was thinking of the sin of Achan. Okay. There's other examples in the Bible. Okay. Why should we be honest, though? Why should we be honest? Why? Does God instruct us to be honest? Yes, God instructs us to be honest. Here's some other reasons. It gives you a peace of mind, character. What about your reputation? Okay. Unfortunately, we've known of people who just weren't honest. Did they have a reputation of being dishonest? That's very unfortunate. All right. What about relationships? We talked about that real quick. Wholeness. What about this one? Mental health and, very interesting, physical health. It affects you both mentally and physically. Okay. Honesty is a choice. And I know you're going to laugh at that picture. That's just kind of a funny picture. However, it is a very serious topic. Okay. Often, have you ever heard honesty is the best policy? Have you heard that before? Actually, I think it would be better to say honesty is the only policy, okay? Somebody asks you a question, girls, your knee-jerk reaction should be to give them the truth, okay? To be honest. And it's a choice. It's a choice. In our home, we have three rules for our kids, and they are obedience, honesty, and respect. And they have to go by those three rules, okay? So that's kind of just a funny picture. That quote there, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Have you heard that before? That's one of the girls in my Sunday school class. That's one of her favorite quotes. You don't have to remember anything. Just be honest. It's your knee-jerk reaction, okay? So we've talked about our attitudes, and we've talked about being honest. Let's go on to the next one. There's a verse here real quick. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So think about that. How about you? All right. Choice three, be thankful. Be thankful. This past summer, I took the month of June, and I went through a book called Choosing Gratitude by Nancy Lee DeMoss, and I did this 30-day challenge to work on being thankful, and maybe you've heard of that book. Wow, amazing. It's amazing what being thankful can do for you. It becomes a habit. Now think about this. Don't answer it out loud, but how many times a day do you think you complain? Yikes. Have you heard this? What if tomorrow I wake up with only the things I was thankful for today? Whoa. Wouldn't that, think about that, okay? And what do we, when we're unthankful, what are we thinking about? We're not thinking about what we have, but we're thinking about what we want, what we don't have, what we lack. These are the things we want, all right, not what we have. And I'm talking more than just at Thanksgiving. Of course, we think about being thankful at Thanksgiving. I'm talking about making it a habit, okay? I'll give you a 3-day challenge, okay? I don't know if you can write this off in the margin there, but if you're having a little bit of trouble with this choice, I am just not as thankful as I should be. Let me give you a 3-day challenge. Here's what I'd like you to do, okay? Day one, first 24 hours, make a tally of how many times you complain. Just on a little piece of paper, tally up how many times you complain, okay? See how much you really don't have to complain about, all right? So that's day one. Day two, Write down a list of everything you're thankful for. Here's what you should do. Make a column called things, make a column called people, and make a column called other. And every time you think of something that would go in one of those columns, write it down. Things, people, and other. And write those things down. Do that for about 24 hours. So the first 24 hours, you're just getting yourself a tally, seeing how much do I actually complain. Then make yourself three columns. Maybe put it on a little 3x5 card, something you could stick in your pocket, something very simple. And then the next 24 hours, read the list four times. Read it after breakfast, maybe after lunch, maybe after dinner, maybe right before you go to bed, something like that. So keep it somewhere with you and read it, okay? Read it four times. Okay, maybe you'll need to do that for a couple days. Eventually, you know what? You're going to begin to appreciate, and you're going to develop more of a thankful heart. Okay, and you know what? Don't you think you're most thankful after you've gone without? Have any of you ever been without electricity for a little while? When the electricity comes back on, how do you feel? You're glad, okay? And other times, you probably weren't even thinking about that, were you? Okay, when I was... when we lived in Lexington, I was coaching a girls' basketball team, and we had a huge ice storm come through one February, and it knocked out power for most of the city and the surrounding areas. And I had some girls on the team. Oddly enough, ours flickered and never went off. But a lot of the girls on the team were out. Some of them were out for like 11 days with no electricity, no water, and all of that. So they would come over in the mornings usually to my house, and I would give them breakfast, and they would shower at my house and then go back home. But it was such, I mean, we were out of school, so that was kind of neat for a little while. But after a while, they were just like, oh, we just want the power to come back on. You know how they feel, all right? So when it comes back on, then you realize, wow. So going without can actually be a great teacher, can't it? Okay? I have a verse here for you. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew not God, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they, there's that word, thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And oh, we don't want to be like that, do we? People that are just unthankful. We know God, but we're just unthankful. Okay? I have a quote here. It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes us happy, that brings happiness. And you've been around people that have very little, haven't you? And yet they still are happy, okay? They're just satisfied and they're content with what they have, all right? So we talked about our attitude. We've talked about being honest, and we've talked about being thankful. Let's talk about this one. There's a little picture of thankfulness for you. Next, choice number four is showing respect to others. Showing respect to others. What if you lived in a world with no rules? What do you think? Would that be nice? Why not? Some of you are like, no, why not? Why not? Why do we have rules? To keep things in order. Very good. Okay. Could you imagine, do any of you play volleyball? Okay. Imagine a volleyball game with no rules. What would it be like? Would you be frustrated? Oh, yes, you would be very frustrated. When I was in high school, we traveled 3 hours away to a school in Ohio. We were in Ohio, but we went 3 hours away to a school, and we played this volleyball game, and the referees did not call any of the rules. It did not go, they could do any kind of hits they want. Oh, it was so frustrating, okay? We eventually, after the game, split up in groups and tried to help them learn how to play volleyball. So we did make it profitable. But going through that, it was frustrating because you don't want to play in a game where there are no rules, okay? That can just be really, really, really frustrating. Here's a good question. What about this? Think about this. What if everybody did what you just did? What if everybody did what you just did? What do you think about that? That could be scary, huh? What if everyone just threw that piece of paper down or said that or did that? This world would be a disaster, okay? So we have to be careful, okay? Four ways to show respect. Four ways to show respect. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm thankful, and we talked about that a few minutes ago. It's another thing to express it. However, you can't say you have respect and never show it. You have to show it. So we're going to talk about four ways to show someone that you have respect for them. Okay? What do you think of when you hear this word? Manners. What are manners? Being polite. I like it. That's what I have down. Politeness. Courteous. Kindness. Show manners. Okay. What about through your language? How could you show respect through your language? Any ideas? Could you show disrespect through your language? Yes. You're all saying yes. Yes. Okay. Our words reveal who we are, don't they? Okay. So through our language. So manners and language. What about this one? We kind of talked about this before. What about honoring rules? Remember the volleyball game I mentioned with no rules? Huh. Honor the rules. And I think this one is super neat. We're all different, aren't we? Okay, you're probably even very different than the person you're sitting next to. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, it could be a good thing, okay? And you know what? There's wonderful people out there. If you would just take time to get to know them. You know, I've been surprised in my life, the people that have made awesome, long-lasting friends, okay? We may not be exactly the same. Okay? You're not going to be the exact same, but we can show respect to each other and we can become friends and appreciate our differences. Matthew chapter 7 says, "Whatsoever ye would do that men would do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." All right, so we've talked about attitude, honesty, being thankful, and what was the last one? Showing respect. Very good. Girls are good. Next one. We'll get there. Do you remember you said what that is a picture of? Yes, the Good Samaritan. And I thought you'd like to see those little doggies. All right, choice number five. Choice number five. Make and keep godly friends. You know, it's not always easy to find that really, really good friend, is it? If you're in here, sitting in here, and you say, "I have so many friends," or if you're sitting in here and you say, "I have very few friends," either way, it's a two-way street, okay? If you have good friends, you need to be a good friend. If you're going to be a good friend, you will have good friends, okay? But we want to be the right kind of friend. So we have to make some choices. Choice number one, this is actually the first choice you should make in every area of your lives. Choice number one, to be growing spiritually. You tell me, where do you think you would find friends that are growing spiritually? In church? Maybe in youth group? Okay. Friends that are growing spiritually, a church activity. Next one, choose to be yourself. Be real. Be genuine. Be the real thing. What about this one? Choose to be loyal. Be a loyal friend, not one of those fair weather friends. Can you think of someone in the Bible who was loyal? That's exactly who I was going to say. David and Jonathan, so much so that even after Jonathan died, David was still loyal to whom? To whom? Yes, to the family, okay? So he was so loyal. Even after his friend is gone, he's still loyal to the family. So be loyal. That's the exact one I was thinking of. What about this one? Choose to be honest. We talked about this earlier with our relationships. Do you want to have a friend who's dishonest with you? Is that difficult? Oh, yes, okay? Well, you also need to be honest. Speak the truth in love. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Okay. Often a good thing to say is, you're thinking, should I say this? Should I say this? Ask yourself, is it necessary? Is it true? And is it kind? And how often that would just keep our mouth shut from there, wouldn't it? Okay. Is it necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? Be honest. Next one, be encouraging. Choose to encourage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 talks about edifying one another. What does it mean to edify? It means to build up. Exactly. Edify. Build up the other. So choose to be encouraging. And then you know what? Girls, takes work. Choose to work at your friendships. Take time to grow your friendships. There's three kinds of people in life. Those who are going to pull you down, yikes. Those who are going to pull you along, and then look at these. Those who pull you up, you surely want these. Those who pull you along, and then those who even pull you up. And who's the best friend you'll ever have? So you may say, you know, I don't have a lot of friends. Okay? Meanwhile, you know who your best friend is? Your best friend who will always be there is Jesus. It says in John 15:14-15, it says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Isn't that awesome that we can have a friend in Jesus? And when is that friend available to us? All the time. Okay? That friend is available all the time. You know, other friends may come and go, but Jesus will always be by your side. Jesus will always be by your side. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there it is. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. All right? I'm going to say one more friends you have. You have friends in your parents. Now, don't laugh, but your parents can be your friends. They want what's best for you. Okay? So you have friends in your parents, and you know what? You also have friends in your brothers and sisters. Okay? I remember my first year going away for college. My first semester, I really missed my friends. Okay? And I was like, oh, I got to get home for Christmas break. I can't wait to see my friends. And I did. And you know what was interesting? I went back even that second semester to college and came back. You know who I missed the most? And then the years after that, who I started missing the most? My brothers and my sisters. I started to miss them more. You know, your high school friends will kind of go off on their own and do their own thing. But, you know, your brothers and sisters, guess what? They're still there when you come home. Okay? And I was one of seven children. So I had a lot of brothers and sisters. So, but I began to just really miss them. And the friends kind of faded by, but they were always, and to this day, they're still there. I could pick up my cell phone and call any one of them. Okay? And they will always be there for me. So your brothers and sisters. Okay? And I gave you the verse, and there's the quote, truly great friends are hard to find, difficult to leave, and impossible to forget. There's some little friends there. All right? All right, next one. We talked about friends. Okay, this is going to be choice number six, an interesting one. Wear and say Christ-honoring things. Christ-honoring things. You girls are doing great with the blanks. Wow. Good note takers. Good note takers. All right, let's first talk about dress. There's a closet up there. You see all the stuff there. Let's talk, first of all, how do I know what I should wear? How do I know what I should wear? Well, perhaps you have your mother is helping you, and that would be great to pick what to wear or kind of what you purchase. But number one, here's your best outfit. Your best outfit is to develop inner godly character. And it talks about that in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31:15, develop your inner godly character. Number two, don't follow the crowd. Girls, you have a higher standard than the crowd. Okay? Listen to this verse. It's 3 John 11. It says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Okay? You have a much higher standard than what everyone else is doing. So therefore, you should, number three, seek God's approval. Proverbs 31, we just mentioned that passage, says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Seek God's approval. Pray. So if you're not sure, ask God, you know, is this something that I should be wearing? Number four, be careful what you wear. You're sending a message. Do you know that what you're wearing is sending a message? What are you trying to say? And back in Proverbs, and you've read this before, but in Proverbs 7, verses 10 and 11, I have it there. Listen to this. It says, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. It didn't even say anything she said, did it? What did it say about her, though? Her attire. What she's wearing. What you're wearing. Number five, wear what's right for the occasion. You're the daughter of a king, right? Wear what's right for the occasion. 1 Timothy says, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. OK, Okay? And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 talks about God's guidelines. So modesty, decency, you've heard all this. Parents, okay? Let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about your tongue, what we say, okay? Guidelines for godly speech. Do you see that verse there in Colossians 3? But put off all these, and then it says, filthy communication out of your mouth. So let's talk about questions we can ask to regarding what we say. How can I avoid gossiping? Right? Number one, think the best about others. Why would it be difficult to continue with a problem with gossiping if you're thinking the best about someone? Is it incorrect to talk about someone else all the time? Why not? Can you speak kindly? Can you speak kindly to someone else about one of your sisters? Oh, yes. Okay. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're purposefully putting someone down, making judgment on them. Okay. So think the best. Make a pact with your friends. We're not going to do this anymore. Make a pact not to gossip. Talk to them about it. Here's a big one. Do you know where you go or where you are or what situation you're in that tends to lead you more to gossiping? Avoid it. Be careful in places you're sure. Also, try to stay away from those who are leading you to gossip. And then never name names. You know what? Oftentimes, rather than making superficial judgments about people, what if we just said nothing? Remember my mother telling us when we were kids, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. I remember her saying that when we'd be in the car, and then it's really quiet. So if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say it. Continuing to talk about this, if we want to eliminate it, I've got some T's here. Okay? First one, time. Idle time creates opportunities. Be careful how you're spending your time. So tighten up your schedule. Spend less time hanging out. I know some of you may be thinking, oh my, I am so busy already. That's okay? It's good. It's fine. Telephone. I should say, beware of aimless chatting or texting. Yeah, a lot of texting going on. Is texting bad? No. Okay, just be careful. Talk. When you're talking on the phone, don't talk too long. Okay, listen to this verse. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. And the last one, tarry. If you're put in a situation where you just don't even know what to say, you don't know how to respond, you don't know the answer to get, it says in Proverbs 29:20, seeth thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. So if you don't know what to say, say, I'll get back to you on that. I'm not sure right now. And that's okay? So how can I permanently change maybe the way I talk? Remember the source of slander. Who's the source of slander? It's the devil. Okay, it's Satan. Realize the cause. Why do you think people often gossip or slander? What do you think? Why would people do that? We've all been guilty of it. Why? Do you know what it is? Jealousy. Okay? The cause of slander is jealousy. We talked about this before. Pick your positive friends. Choose your company carefully. And not just your company, also choose your activities very carefully. Where you go. These are all choices you make. Look for the good in others. Could you be generous with praise? Yeah. Look for good. Be that type of friend. Be that type of person who looks for things that are positive. And you know what? If this is an area in which you struggle, leave it to God. Pray. Ask Him for help. Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So ask Him for help. And then you know what? What is gossip? It's actually sin. Deal with it as a sin. Name it and confess it. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. Okay? And you know what? I have that picture. Isn't that ugly? That's an ugly picture of pollution. It's disgusting. All right? But you know what? It's a heart thing. Okay? And what's in our heart is what's going to come out of our mouths. Okay? So it's a heart issue. And so we need to be careful. Our heart will affect how we dress, and our heart will also affect what we say. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So think about it. Maybe this is an area you need to work on. Maybe it's not. Choice number 7. You guys are doing very well. Choice number 7. Give your body and mind nutrition and exercise. Give your body. Let's first talk about your body. Okay? Give your body. We need to care for our bodies. Why? Very good. Okay. It is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the temple of, and he wants us to be healthy. Why? What can a healthy teen girl do? Serve God. Okay. Our purpose is to serve him. There was a t-shirt once that said, if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself. So that we don't have to say that, we need to take care of it. And I have 2 quick points here. Your body is the vehicle that carries what is essential. So your body is very important, but you know what? It's not the most important part of you. What's inside is what's going to last, okay? So your body is important, but it's not the most important. And secondly, taking care of your body is important. How your body looks compared to others, how you look compared to others, that's not what is important. Okay? You need to just take care of it. All right? So that's a little bit about that. Let's talk about your minds. There's 2 choices we make concerning our minds. What we let into them, and then what you do with what is in your mind. And we need to exercise both. Okay? You need to exercise both your bodies and your minds. You know, it's a choice. You should be selective about what goes into your mind. You should be selective about what goes into your body. Okay? And if this is something you struggle with, ask him to help you. Okay? Talk it over with him. I have a verse here. It says, know ye not, and this was just mentioned, that ye are the what? Temple. Ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So what about you? What about you? Okay? Next one. What do you think? Understand that life is not always fair. Life is not always fair. You know what? I'm really actually very thankful for that. Okay? What would we deserve if life were fair? Yeah. Would we deserve a home in heaven? No, we wouldn't. So we're actually thankful. Life is not always fair. What if we had our own way? Would we make life fair? Would we make everything easy, consistent? We would have everything be very fair. No more pain, no more suffering, just all fun, right? But why do we have pain and suffering in this world? To help us what? Draws us closer to him. My Sunday school class, we've been doing a series on John 15 about pruning and purging. And why does God bring trials into our lives? To help to bring us closer to him so that we can bear fruit. All right, there's a verse that says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So ultimately, we want to become more like him. And you know what? The world's not going to devote itself to making us happy. Let me read this prayer to you. Have you heard of the Serenity Prayer? You probably all recognize it when I start reading it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking as he did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. And I have a verse here for you, and it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is heaven, in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And you know what? It goes on to say, he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. All right, so think about it. Life's a series of problems. Do you want to moan about them, or do you want to solve them? All right, number nine, and we are almost done. Number nine, be motivated. Have goals. Work hard. Habits. Habits. What's a habit? Something you do
over.
Yeah, over and over. One of the main keys to success. I've heard some people say that it's like 95% of your behavior is just habits. Something you do over and over. I know in sports, for shooting free throws, it's habit. You step to the line, you do the same thing every time. All right? It becomes a habit. It becomes second nature to you. All right? So habits. Have goals. Have goals. Think big. Be motivated. And you know what? With goals and all of this and with your dreams, work and fun are not opposites. They can go together. And you think about all of these goals and being motivated and having habits. And, you know, you have to work so hard in your schoolwork and all of these different things, huh? Don't forget that God needs to be the center of everything you do. It talks about that in James chapter 4. So we want to have goals. We want to be motivated. You're in high school. You're working hard, writing papers, taking math classes, right? Doing all these different things. Is it, you know, you want to keep doing your best and have goals. You know, I'd like to get to this. Some of you are just getting ready to go into high school, okay? So you might have some goals. One of you already mentioned maybe college, what college you'll go to and what you're going to major in. This is what I want to do with my life. That's fine. That's all wonderful. Just have goals that have God in the center and let him stay the center. So think big, okay? And whatsoever you do, do it how? Heartily, as to the Lord, okay? And there's a quote there by Theodore Roosevelt. Far and away, the best prize that life offers is the chance to work hard at work worth doing. So think about it. Do you have goals? If I asked you to give me three goals, do you have any goals? Maybe you could think about that. What would my goals be? What do I want? All right. Number 10. Choice number 10. Choice number 10 is the biggest choice you'll make. We're going to talk about this more at the end. Choice number 10 is to get into God's Word and talk things over with Him. Get into God's Word and talk things over with Him. Your hand's getting tired. Get into God's Word. You're doing very well. Get into God's Word and talk things over with Him. The biggest choice you will make. Let's talk first about God's Word. Maybe you'll say, you know, this is something that I really could work on. I do need to work on getting more into God's Word. Let me give you some practical ideas real quick to help you with that. Number one, you need to get into it. You need to read it. You say, I don't know where to start. Start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start with the Gospels. Get in and start anywhere. Get in and read it. And how much time do you need to spend per day in reading it? Yes. I don't, you know, whatever you can do. Read a couple verses. Get into it a little bit every day, okay? You don't have to spend hours reading it, but then also study it. Ask someone for help. I'm sure you have a youth pastor or a pastor's wife who would love to help you get into God's Word and dig a little deeper. Make sure you're going to hear it. Where would you hear God's Word? Of course, you would go to church. Being here today, awesome, okay? Youth group, all of these things. Memorize. You have such bright minds. Memorize God's Word, and He'll recall it. You may be in a situation someday, and you know, a verse will just pop into your mind. Has that ever happened to you? And you'll say, where did that come from? Maybe it's something you learned as a four-year-old. I don't know, but it comes. You know, He brings these things, and He helps us to recall them at particular times. And then you know you need to have a desire. Listen to this verse. In Job 23, it says, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Desire it. Want it as much as you want to eat your next meal. Okay, so we have to want it. I have a quick example here. Mary, she memorized Scripture. There is a passage there in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and she's giving the song of praise to magnify the Lord. You know, she references the Old Testament 15 times in that passage. So she knew, okay? So let's switch gears here. We talked about God's word. Let's talk about reasons we don't pray. Can you think of why we don't pray as much as we should? Any ideas? Time. Time. What else? I think she hit the big one there. Let's look at some. Worldliness. There's a pressure to conform. Does the world spend a lot of time in prayer? No. Okay? And sometimes we forget that this world is not our home. We're just passing through, and we tend to conform. What about this one? Busyness. Does it take time to pray? Oh, yes. So we're very busy. What about this one? Foolishness. Foolishness. Perhaps we're just consumed with things that don't matter. What's on our minds? Things that really don't matter. What about distance? Do you ever feel like he's just so distant to me? Christ is so, God is so distant. Maybe we have sin in our lives. Maybe we just don't really know that he wants to hear from us. We're ignorant. We just think, we just don't really understand how prayer works. What about sinfulness? Have you ever done something wrong in your home and you've kind of been a little hesitant to be around one of your parents? Okay, maybe there's something in our lives and we're thinking, I don't feel like praying because I have this in my life. Faithlessness, maybe we don't believe in the power of prayer. Pride, maybe we don't show our dependence on God. Here's a big one, inexperience. We don't pray because we don't think to pray. It didn't cross my mind to pray. Okay? So it's kind of like a dog chasing its tail. Have you ever seen that? We don't think to pray, and we don't pray. It's just not something that we think to do. All right? And then, you know what? This is probably the biggest one, laziness. We just are lazy. All right? Real quick, let me give you a checklist for prayer. Check your relationship with God. Maybe there's sin there. Check it. Admit it. Get it taken care of. What about your lifestyle? Think about this. If I were to ask you who or what is influencing you, what would your answer be? And then you know what? There's that word again. Check your desire. If you talk to any prayer warrior, they will say that they just had a desire. So we need to develop desires, okay? And we don't have time to look too much at this one, but there's a picture there of Nehemiah, and it talks about him. He has an awesome example of a prayer life. If you want to go through the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1, 2, 4, 6, 12, there's just some awesome examples of someone with a great prayer life, all right? And we're almost done here. God calls us to pray and think and dream and plan and work, not to be made much of to make much of ourselves, but to make much of him in every part of our lives, all right? So think about it. I said there, am I breathing spiritually? That's what prayer is. How many times have you been breathing since we sat down here? Yes. Do you think about it? No. Okay. Wouldn't it be so awesome if prayer became like that to us? We just talk to God here and we talk to God there. We walk down the hall and we talk to God. We talk to God just as much as we are spiritual, or as we are breathing, because it's spiritual breathing, which all of our choices now we've talked about, some major choices, brings us to question number three. We've gone through the 10 choices. Question number three. What is the most important choice ever? What you choose off the McDonald's menu, that's not the most important choice ever, okay? There are things that are very important, all right? Here's what it is. What you're going to do with Christ. Only what's done with Christ is what's going to last. So that's a question to ask yourself. And you know what? You're known and you're blessed by God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I even formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You're known and blessed by him. You're loved by God. His son died for your sins, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're accepted by God. And you may say, you know, we were talking about the friends and I don't have a lot of friends. You're accepted by God through his son. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We can be complete in Christ. And then I think this is so awesome. We are a work in progress. And one day we'll be made perfect. And you know what? One day we will make perfect choices. because we will become like him. It says in Philippians 1:6, it says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So one day, if you know him, and you know, girls, I pray that you all do, you're going to become like him. And he's going to make us perfect. We're going to make perfect choices. We're not going to be, we're not going to have sin in our lives, and we're going to do everything to honor him. So in conclusion, my question is, what have you done about him? All those other choices we talked about today, interesting, but they pale in comparison to this question right here, this choice. And you know what? You can't say, oh, I just don't think I'm going to decide. We have to decide. We have to make that choice, okay? The choice is yours. You make the choice. So what are you doing today with your relationship? Maybe you say, well, I already have accepted him. I already know him. Well, then what are you doing today with your relationship? What kind of choices are you making? Think about those choices that we went through today. Are there any of those that you would say, you know, I really could, I really do need to work on that? So we need to ask ourselves, what kind of choices are we making? And you know what? If we haven't made that big choice, see someone today. Don't leave the retreat until you've talked to someone about making that choice. You know, I really would like to make that big decision to know Christ. All right? The choice is yours. You make the choice. And then guess what? The choice makes you. All right?